You're listening to Like a Real Boss podcast, where we go beyond the title and unravel the complexities of being a boss. If you're a head honcho, top dog, or queen bee, this is for you. Get insight from experienced leaders and passionate workers. This is your wake-up call. Ready to get bossified? Now, your host and the real-life boss, Tiana Sanchez.
Welcome and thank you for joining another episode of Like a Real Boss. This is your host, Tiana Sanchez, and this is the place where you get tips, tricks, trends, tools, where we talk about the stuff so you can be a better boss. Or entrepreneur podcast. We just recently started covering entrepreneurship as someone who is an entrepreneur who has grown and evolved in her business. It's something that I believe that I can help pass along some knowledge and some sage advice to aspiring entrepreneurs. And so this is, again, a podcast about 30 minutes long. We're not sure where you tune in, so we always like to check in. You can find us on Stitcher, on Spotify, and of course, iTunes. And we've been diving into a series. It's been a four-part series. This is part number four. And we covered a couple of topics about, you know, how to go from your idea to reality and to kind of thinking about what to do to implementation and what the entrepreneur mindset is. And again, not my concept, an existing concept, but we cover about 8 or 9 different types of components under that mindset. And then we talked about the flexibility of a job versus the flexibility of you owning your business. How do those hours work out? How do you calculate those hours? And how do you transition from corporate world of working 9 to 5, 40 to 60 hours a week to a different type of lifestyle? And so today I want to talk about, actually I'm going to pivot a little bit because we had scheduled to talk about, you know, funding and what it's like and how I should say you get funding. Because that's always a big question is, you know, I got this great idea and how do I get funding for it? Where do I get money? How do I get investors? And that really isn't my cup of tea. That really isn't my expert area. But there are other people, other individuals that can talk with great experience and who have an incredible amount of knowledge in that area. For me and my business, when I started, I bootstrapped. And if you don't know what that is, that basically is you use your own money. Now, that's not necessarily the best way to go about doing it. And that's why every entrepreneur, every business owner has a story and they have their own journey. There's some similarities kind of weave throughout like a thread in each one of our stories. There's some very common themes that are throughout. Again, we talk about that entrepreneur mindset, recognizing opportunities, being able to take risks. Like those are things that regardless of your business, they are required in entrepreneurship. But as it comes to things like money and raising money and getting capital investors, it really is different for everyone. So I decided today to talk about a topic about kind of what you should avoid, why businesses typically fail, what you should avoid, and if you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, how does that happen? And I always have to caution my word and my use of the word success because I believe success is defined differently by everyone and it's incremental. You could be successful if you just basically, if you know, hey, if your goal was to leave your job and start a business, hey, that's a level of success for you. If your goal was to reach your first $10,000 client in your business, hey, that's a success and that's worthy of celebrating. So I believe it's incremental. I don't think it's a place or position in time that we ever achieve where we stop and say, oh, I've reached the pinnacle of success and that's it. But we'll keep it simple in this context of this podcast today, you know, entrepreneurial success for you, what that looks like and really what you should avoid. So this talk I actually did at an event about a year ago for an entrepreneur incubator program where it was a bunch of aspiring entrepreneurs, brand new, but then there were a handful of individuals who had been in business for a little while. And I decided to talk about this topic of why businesses fail, because if you know why businesses fail, hopefully you can avoid that same demise of those failed businesses. And again, I have to say this in context, when I use the word fail or failure, I'm also looking at that as a temporary place or position. I don't look at that as a permanent place, as a state of being, as a sense of permanency. For me, I believe it's an experience. It's a place in time and it's a moment in time. So oftentimes businesses will have experienced failures, but you will also hear, oh, I started another business. Well, you know, my first two businesses failed, but you know, hey, this third business we got, it's launched, it's great. Now we're making X amount of money. So again, when I use success, failure, my definition of them a little bit different. So why do businesses fail and what you should avoid? Here's a statistic that I will share with you. And it came from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics under their Business Employment Dynamics of 2016. And it says that roughly 20% of businesses survive past their first year of operation. So we could say that basically 80% of businesses fail. Okay, within the first year. So it says roughly 20% of businesses survive past their first year of operation, and that was in 2016. And when you think about that, well, you know, first thing comes to mind are what are some of the reasons why businesses fail? And I really want you to think about that right now. Think about this question. What are some of the reasons why businesses fail? What are the first things that come to mind when you think of starting a brand new business and all that that entails? What things come to mind? Let me help you out, because there are two primary reasons. One of them is a lack of profits or financial funding, okay? So you have a lack of revenue, money. Are you making money in your business? You're not making money in your business, so you're failing. You're experiencing a failure. Or financial funding. Maybe you've flattened out. You've reached a plateau. You need more access to assets, access to funding, and you're unable to get that. And so your businesses potentially take a downturn. And in some cases, they fail. And again, using that word in the context of experiencing a failure, failure is not permanent, but temporary. So those being the primary two reasons, which is why I say, go seek out someone who is knowledgeable when it comes to the financial aspect of funding. There are some great angel investors, I'm sure, in your city and in your country. You have to do some research and look at who are those individuals that are investing in your type of business. It's also helpful to stay in the know. See what is trending in your market space. Artificial intelligence and, you know, technology advances and certain things that have happened. And if you have an idea or product or service that fits into one of those top tier trending industries or top tier product groups, then there may be more of an interest from angel investors in that arena. So you have to do, there's definitely some work on the back end and actually on the front end when you start a business. So looking at angel investors, looking at other sources of funding, which could be crowdfunding, which depending on your, again, product or service, there's some great crowdfunding sources. Some people like it, some people don't. I think you either hate them or you love them. And what I like about crowdfunding is that you get the general public involved in an idea. They get to experience it, because depending on your level of investment with that particular product or service, they will send you a sample. I've actually done it a couple of times myself, and it's kind of cool. You kind of feel like you're the first person to receive that and to sample that product. It's like you go somewhere, you're not going to see anybody with that. So it's kind of cool. And you feel like you're part of something new when you invest in someone else's business. So there's a great number of crowdfunding sources. Indiegogo is one, I think, for the film industry. Then you have Kickstarter, which is probably one of the most popular ones. Those are just to name a couple. And again, not endorsing, just mentioning the ones that I know. And then there's also specific types of funding sources. I happen to sit on the board of a nonprofit organization who is all about building wealth and creating assets and empowering people economically through the vehicle of microloans for a specific marginalized group. And these individuals within that community can gain access to capital and therefore build wealth if they want to start a business, or maybe they want to expand an existing business, or maybe they want to invest in real estate, or, you know, do a fixer-upper. And so we will receive interest and applications to look and see if the individual can acquire a microloan. So a microloan is a very small amount. So it could be anywhere from $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. In some cases, some companies have $50,000, which is considered a microloan. So there's, again, different vehicles that you can use. So my suggestion is, when it comes to, again, we're looking at the reasons why businesses fail, top two being lack of profits or financial funding, clearly there's more to learn there. But there's others, actually. There's a lack of product market fit. So how does your product or service fit into the market. Again, that requires some research on your end. And see, I think people forget about that part. They have a great idea. They're like, wow, this is amazing. This is what it's going to do for the world, for people all across the nation, or maybe for a small sector. But they fail to do the research. They fail to assess individuals, do some surveys, do some product sampling, you know, ask some questions. And sometimes that can take a year or two. And I think that's probably the deterrent, is that, okay, that's going to take a little bit more time than what you may have expected. So lack of product market fit is a reason why businesses fail. So how do you then avoid that? Again, do your research, do your market research, not only for today, but look out 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. Things change really quick and often. So look out 5, 10, 15 years from now. How is your product going to fit in the market down the line? So you have to be a forward thinker. And again, if you go back into our first episode, which is the entrepreneur mindset, we kind of talk about how to have that forward thinking, that forward vision type of level thinking as an entrepreneur. Another reason is that there's a lack of product market fit, but then there's a no market at all need. So some businesses fail because they create a product or service, but there's no need for it in the market. So again, if no one's buying it, there's not a desire for that particular product or service, then you could probably experience a failure. You're not going to get that interest that you desired. So, you know, I use the example of typewriters. You know, if I were a person, I loved making typewriters and that was my thing. And I was really good at designing and creating and producing those. But is there a market need for that today? So, you know, we look at how we watch movies now. You know, you can't drive down the street and see a Blockbuster. Like, you're not gonna see a Blockbuster. For anyone who doesn't even know what a Blockbuster is, Google it. But it used to be, before there was a Netflix and there was an Amazon and Amazon Prime and Hulu, there used to be something called local video stores. And these local video stores, you could purchase or rent. I think renting was probably the biggest draw. And you could walk into this store, an actual physical store, and there would be rows upon rows and aisles upon aisles of videos that you could rent for a number of days. And you would take it home and you would put it into your device and you would watch it. And then you would go back to that store and you would return the movie and then you would rent another movie. And this happened. And this is what went on in my generation growing up in the 90s. And that was very common. Now, you cannot drive up and down a street and see a Blockbuster or any of those video stores. They have been replaced by the Netflix, by the Hulu, by the Amazon Prime, because there is no market need for them. So clearly, you got to do your research. Again, not thinking just today, but think 5, 10, 15 years from today, where the market is headed, to see if there will be a continual need for your service or product. Another reason businesses fail is competition. So you're going to have competition. That's the reality. You have to know what you do, what your lane is, what your niche is, what your price points are, what you stand for, what you're about. And who does what you do? Once you've written that all down in a business plan or on a napkin, you have to figure out, well, who does all those things too and does them a little bit better than you do? And you have to figure that out. You have to know what your competition is, and you have to find that key differentiator that separates you from your competition. And there's going to be competition for you. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think competition sometimes drives us. It helps push us. It nudges us to be better. It helps us to be better in many ways. But I think you have to also find what drives some people. Again, it's not always just the product that you're offering, or if it's a service that you're providing, but it's also the client experience. And oftentimes a client experience is really what makes the difference on the loyalty of that client, if they're gonna come back and continue to work with you as a provider. So competition, you're gonna have it. You gotta figure out who does what you do and who does it better than you, because I guarantee there's someone out there who does it better than you. And speaking of pricing is another thing that could be a reason why businesses fail. You could be overpriced, or you could be underpricing yourself. So how do you figure, I've had this question actually asked me many times as an entrepreneur, how do you figure out what to charge people? You know, my line of work is very service driven. So not often do we have tangible physical products that we sell. I am an author of a few books, and so when I do go to events, oftentimes I will sell those books, and that is a tangible product. But most times it is a service of facilitation, of creating assessments, of doing evaluations, and that pricing, again, people always ask, well, how do you price your product or your service? And there's a couple of factors to consider. So think about this. Think about what your value is. So some people price themselves off of the experience and the expertise of that individual. If you have, in my line of work as someone who facilitates courses and training, I may have 20 years of experience where someone else may have 2 years of experience. Well, my 20 years of experience, what I've gathered, what I've learned, things that I've developed, certain methodologies, well, in my mind, that has accumulated over time, and the value of that knowledge, there's a price for that. And so I have to consider those factors. When you're pricing, you also have to consider how much time does it take for you to develop your product, your service. That's where your profit margin comes in. What are your costs of goods when you have to develop your product? If you have a tangible product, it's an app or it's a device, it's something that's technical type of device or something, what's the cost to help make that? Let's say it is an app. Well, what's the cost to help make that app? What goes into that? Well, you have to factor that in order for you to come up with a price, because then there's a profit margin, which is the margin that you make once the cost of that and what you charge for it, you subtract it, and then you get a profit margin, right? So what is that? You have to make sure that you're making money. So that will also determine your price. Well, what's the quality of your product or service? High quality, medium quality, low quality? I don't think anybody will say low quality, which is why you have to get outside opinion on those type of things. You can't just base it off of what you think, because you're subjective. Your opinion is subjective. You need to get an objective, unbiased individual to help answer some of these questions. So you're looking at, again, the quality of the product, how much it costs to make the product or service, maybe the level of experience and expertise you bring to the table could be a part of your pricing. So these are all things that you have to consider. And it's also a reason why businesses fail, because they either they overprice themselves or they underprice. I gave an example of how you can better price yourself in those moments. But overpricing is something that can happen as well when people don't do, I think, the research that they need to do to figure out where they are a good fit. So pricing, competition, not having a market need or a lack of product market fit, not having money or access to money. These are all reasons why businesses fail. I'm going to run through the rest of them, which, again, very common. Running out of money entirely. We talked about that. Just not having enough money. Running out of money, which happens to a lot of people, especially when they bootstrap like myself, because that actually did happen to me. Fortunately, I didn't. The business has not closed, but there was a point, because you use your own money. We ran out of money in order to fund the business. So we had to get real creative to keep the business afloat. So we developed some strategic alliances with other people that did what we did, and we partnered with them and worked alongside of them to kind of build our capital that we can pour back into our business. And that was a strategy that we did. But other reasons, important reasons, poor marketing, not having, I would say, even a strong list, potential list of clients. Maybe there's a disharmony among your team, among your investors. You're not following up. You're not paying attention to your customers. So you're ignoring your customers. And they're going to leave you. So these are examples of why businesses fail. And also one that you may not consider, because I think in our day and age, most things are done digitally, that we don't think of geography as a hindrance, but sometimes having the wrong geographical location, you know, growing too quickly in one area. You start in your current city because people know you, they know your product, they know your service, and then you branch out way across into, you know, another state somewhere where you don't have that brand recognition or reputation, could be detrimental. So all of those are examples of why businesses fail, because remember that 20%, roughly 20% of businesses survive past their first year. And that was according to a statistic done back in 2016. And even if that number's improved a little bit, it's likely still a large amount of companies that fail within the first year. So to avoid that, go back, listen to some of the things that we talked about or what the top reasons were and some suggestions that I had gave, and begin to incorporate some of those into your business plan or into your action steps. Why do you work to make someone else successful when you can work and make yourself successful? And again, I use that word successful very cautiously, because I know everyone has their own definition of what success means to them. The entrepreneurial mindset is not a fixed trait, but rather a set of skills and behaviors that can be taught, practiced, and cultivated. I love that quote because it really sums up not only the business side of entrepreneurship, but also the mental requirement, I would say. And that was a quote by the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, which is NIFTE. And they also came up with the entrepreneurial mindset. So I'm going to share with you a couple of things that, again, in the next 5 minutes, that I believe will help you to think twice about some of the decisions that you have to make, that will also help guide you away from that failed experience of your business by making the wrong decisions. And again, I'm one voice, I'm one story, and one experience, and I'm going to share that with you. So the first one in the next 5 minutes that I'm going to share is these are things of what you do to avoid failure. So the first one is spending all your money. Avoid spending all of your money, your personal money, on your business. Again, I did it. It was called bootstrapping, but it wasn't a smart decision because if you've never been in business before, you don't know what to expect and things come up. Decisions have to be made. People have to be paid. And if you spend all of your money, you don't have any access to capital, you're putting yourself in a very difficult position as a business. So when you budget out, again, that's why understanding what it costs to make your product or service, doing some research up front to make sure you have a good product fit, making sure that you know who your competition is and you're not gonna run out of money. The second thing you can do to avoid failing, in my experience, is pricing your product too high or too low. And I talked about that, which the best thing to do is to get an outside objective input. You can do that through surveys. There's some survey companies that you can use. You can ask questions, put a survey together, do some what we call market research to find out where your product or service fits and how much people would spend for it. Couple that with the things that I mentioned, which is your expertise, the value that you bring, the quality of your product. So you have to couple all of that together because there is value in your knowledge. What you know, only. And there is value in that knowledge and that expertise, and you can charge for that. So pricing your product too low or too high is something that you want to avoid. You also want to avoid marketing your product without a strategy. And what I mean by that is early on, I would say when I started my business, I always had great ideas. I thought I was a person with a million ideas every day. And when you're a business entrepreneur, I think that's very common as well. But as soon as I had a great idea, I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to send it out to my network. I'm going to start this campaign and I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a bunch of sales. And that never happened. There wasn't a lot of thought. It was just this, I was ready to hit the market with it. I had a great idea, but I didn't really have very much of a strategy. So before you market your product, what is the purpose? What are you looking to get on the back end? What is the return that you're looking to get? Who are you marketing to? What plan is in place for follow-up? And sometimes marketing strategies can take weeks, can take months. So it has to be very thoughtful and purposeful. And there's some great software out there that can help you with managing your customers. There's some great marketing tools that can help you with creating campaigns, automated campaigns, which I love. So you don't have to be the person behind the computer sending the emails to 1,500, 5,000 people, but it's an automated type of situation. So make sure you have a strategy. And again, you don't have to do it alone. You can find someone who has an interest of what you're doing. You can hire an intern, which is what I've done. You can hire contractors, is what have I done. You can also hire employees. You can have people doing temporary work for you. So you can build a tribe of individuals to help you when it comes to doing a marketing push for your product. Because you can have multiple products under the umbrella of your company, which is what I have. I have professional development and training as the core umbrella, but there are several buckets underneath that umbrella that I may want to market. I may want to market my book. I may want to market a leadership development program. I may want to market a course on trust. I may want to market an executive coaching program. So those are different types of products and services under my umbrella that will each require a different strategy. So you have to determine again what that purpose is and be intentional and not do it by yourself, but that you can do it with someone, which is going to lead me to one of my last avoid things for you. But the next one is expanding too quickly. Expanding too quickly is something, again, when we think about geography, I think a lot is get a footprint where you are. Get a footprint where you are, lay down some roots, let people get to know who you are, get weaved into the community, into the county, into the city, state, you know, build up a clientele, build up some testimonies, and really get deep into your core product and service in that particular city or state or geography before you expand. That is my piece of advice in that arena. And then the last one really is avoid going at it alone, because no one entrepreneur can ever say that they did it by themselves. If they did, they're not being 100% honest. No one, and I mean no one, the people you see, the millionaire, billionaire, zillionaire, gazillionaires out there, never did it alone. And neither do you. So if you want to avoid experience a failure in your business within that first year, second year, third year, partner with folks that can help you along the way, because that's what they do best. You do what you do best and let them do what they do best. And on that note, I want to say again, thank you for listening to the show. I want to encourage you, if you're a brand new entrepreneur, to go back and listen to the first three episodes, as this is the final fourth episode in this particular series. We're going to start a new series in the next segment. If you, again, want to find out where to find us, you can listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes, of course. And as always, I leave you with this quote: everyone wants to succeed, but not everyone is willing to do the work. If you are willing, I will help you do your work. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Like a Real Boss podcast with Tiana Sanchez. We are your ambassador, helping you go from good to great to extraordinary. To learn more about awesome offers, training programs, books, and more, head over to www.nolimittoyoursuccess.com. Until next time.